It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you along. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Last week at this time, Georgia Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle proposed unprecedented state funding for MARTA, but not without a major overhaul in the transit agency's governing structure. Keith Parker is MARTA's general manager, and he joins us now. Mr. Parker, welcome.
Good morning.
The lieutenant governor's basic premise is, and this is to use his words, the problem is today we're not seeing that much added value from MARTA. He says it's a valuable asset, but we're not seeing much added value. Just wanted to get your response to that general premise.
We've had an incredible few years. When I came in as the leader of the organization had gone through quite a few tough years because of the recession and some other things, had lost millions of riders, had three or four years consecutively of fare increases, and had seen its customer service numbers really plummet in terms of how people view the overall quality of the service. You fast forward 3 years later, we've had the best three-year run in the history of the organization financially, and that we've added well over $100 million to our budget reserves when the consulting firm KPMG said that we would be fiscally insolvent in that three-year period had we not made major adjustments. We've seen our customer service numbers go up dramatically, some of the best ones since the Olympics, as a matter of fact. And very importantly, we have really begun to lay out a vision of a transit system that is going to be not just carrying person to person, but truly being a big player in the whole development field. And so a few examples of that, the folks at State Farm are in the midst of building a 2.2 million square foot addition right around our Dunwoody station. We are in the negotiating phase of working with the folks in Brookhaven and a number of developers and so forth, where you're going to see a combination of condos and apartments, a new hotel, potential of a new library, tremendous amount of open space, all beautifully done. And we will be shoveling dirt and opening up in the next year or so three brand new transit-oriented developments, including Edgewood Candler Park, the Avondale area. And in these, again, they are going to be transformational to those communities. And then, of course, folks like Mercedes-Benz, NCR, Kaiser Permanente have all mentioned that they've made major locational decisions coming to the Atlanta market or moving within the Atlanta market in large part based upon what their proximity to MARTA and their ability to have public transportation access. So I think we're playing a major role.
Didn't MARTA have to put one of the transit-oriented developments on hold? And was it King Center or I can't remember which
Actually,
one.
Oakland City.
Yeah.
Yes, because part of what we've done is when we've gone out to the private sector, we've asked to do things that doesn't necessarily just bring MARTA the most revenue. Because one of the things we could do, we could just simply put these projects out there and say, whoever has the highest number, we will take that and thank you for the money. No, we want to be transformational and we want to be good partners with the neighborhoods where we play a role. So when we didn't get exactly what the neighborhood wanted, what the city council folks from around that area wanted, and quite frankly, from what our board wanted, we decided let's delay that. Let's see what the market will bring us sometime in the future and go from there.
The lieutenant governor also said, though, that not enough people are riding the system right now. And MARTA's own figures show the monthly ridership is down more than 2 million between July of last year and February of this year, down from 12.4 to 10.3 million. And it's missed the forecast every month since November. So is that an indication that there's something to what he said, that people are looking for something in the daily experience that MARTA might not be providing?
Well, I think it needs to look at a broader national context, that what's happened in the entire nation is that since gas prices went down, transit ridership around the nation is down. And in fact, when you compare MARTA with its peer systems from around the country, the larger systems, the Denver's, the Washington Metro's, those groups, we actually are in the upper forefront in terms of ridership, that many of those agencies have seen much larger decreases. And in fact, what we think is going to happen is, like in all cases on gas prices, there's a direct correlation. When fuel prices go down, transit ridership goes down. As those prices spike upwards, we'll see our ridership rebound. But when you compare us to other transit systems, we're doing quite well.
His implication, and in fact his direct words, is that MARTA is offering something different from what consumers ultimately want. And he was talking in big picture terms toward the future. Do you think his perception of what MARTA wants, he said a train that stops every 2 seconds, that his perception of what MARTA wants is accurate?
I can't speak for the lieutenant governor, but here are the things that we're doing. And in every case, we're not implementing new policies or new programs to be average. We're doing them to be best in class. So, for example, we've got a pilot project that's just went underway for mobile ticketing that will allow a person to literally just go on from their smartphone, download an app, and buy their Breeze Pass and use it to get on our buses and trains. And this won't just be one of those that's being demonstrated in a couple of places around the country. Ours will be the most seamless, the most innovative, again, in the entire country and one of the best in the entire world. We are moving forward with Wi-Fi and cellular connectivity on all the buses and throughout the rail system as well. We'll be one of the first systems in the nation to offer this type of coverage. We're doing things that also bring high impact to our customers. So, for example, we went out and we asked our folks at the West End station what they'd like to see in terms of amenities. And they said they'd like to have access to fresh produce. So we actually opened up a farmer's market. It was wildly successful last fall. So we'll be expanding that to a number of other places. And then other small things that add to the customer experience include bathrooms. MARTA already provides more bathroom services than just about any other transit authority in the nation. And we are pioneering what we call our smarter restrooms that require a lot less maintenance, a lot less human interaction, whether the restrooms themselves have automated interactive features, but at a much lower cost than what we could provide traditionally. You add all those things together and you look at our customer service numbers, and they're fresh on my mind because we just finished those up in the last 60 days or so. And we're finding roughly 75 to 80% of the folks who use our service are satisfied or greatly satisfied with the service. Huge increase over where it's been in terms of public perception of safety. MARTA customers are saying they feel safer now than what they felt, again, in a generation. So we're seeing a dramatic change in the way people perceive the transit system. We always need to do more, always going to work harder. And in fact, on the safety front, one of the things we're doing even further is that we now have cameras on every bus, and we're 2/3 of the way on every train. Once we finish that program up, we'll start an ad campaign basically saying the dumbest place in which to commit a crime in this region will be on a MARTA bus or train. And already today, if you compare, looking at FBI statistics, not mine, not MARTA's, when you compare the larger transit authorities in around the nation, MARTA has the second fewest serious incidences of all those large transit systems. So we're a safe system, but working to be even safer.
And this goes directly to something the lieutenant governor said during our conversation, and it was about safety and perception, and I want to bring you that right now.
There are practices that are being put where individuals, you know, get on there and they can ride all day, okay? And many people don't feel as if it is safe. They don't see predictability. There are other factors that play into this.
You were talking to me about how MARTA customers feel about safety. Isn't the lieutenant governor, though, articulating a perception that many people on the outside have of MARTA, and don't you have to reach them in order to become the regional or expanded transit system that it wants to be?
Yes. I think one of the things every transit system around the nation deals with is the perception that if you get on a bus or train, you're going to be attacked or accosted in some way. And when we look at the real numbers, and that's what I'm about, I want to make sure that we look at real numbers and also look at ways we can change perception if necessary. From the real number standpoint, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 incidences on a vehicle per month that we would consider serious. And these include things like snatching of a cell phone, or like recently we had a person who took his skateboard. It was a person who had a mental challenge, took his skateboard and tapped a female customer on the shoulder with it. We take those things very seriously. Very rarely do we have anything like a rape or a gunshot or anything that's extraordinarily rare.
But things go viral. I mean, there was a brawl recently on a MARTA train that just absolutely went viral.
And you said recently, that was over a year ago,
right?
But it stays in the mind. Exactly. So when we look at the number of people we carry, versus the number of what's truly a violent incident on a MARTA train or bus, it actually equates to about one in a million. It's that rare that they happen. But you, as you said, we have to constantly fight the perception that the service is unsafe. So one of the ways we're doing that, we instituted our Ride With Respect campaign a number of years ago. And under that campaign, we've had a zero tolerance for what I call knucklehead behavior, you know, the panhandling, loud music, that sort of thing. We've made over 7,000 suspensions with that campaign and less than 5% repeat offenders. So what that means is that the people who we catch doing these things are now behaving themselves. And the customers have noticed. The customer service numbers regarding safety and security have gone up pretty precipitously over that time in terms of people saying they feel safer to ride the service.
But then how do you get to the people on the outside?
So in addition, we will do more and more to campaign about the safety of the system. So you'll be hearing more about that in the coming months. In fact, we will start a new ad campaign on Ride With Respect with two folks who use our service very frequently, Clark Howard and Coach Bud from the Atlanta Hawks. They are active riders, and so they've agreed to do commercials for us. And many other folks will be tapping to get the word out that riding a MARTA train or bus is a very safe endeavor.
So the lieutenant governor is saying, okay, what we need in order to get the state funding is a change in governance, a board that looks a little bit like Grady Hospital's board eventually became, more business and outside civic leaders involved. Is that a bad idea on its face?
No, I think if I heard correctly, the lieutenant governor mentioned that there's going to be a couple of different study commissions that mm-hmm. look at public transit. And we just want to play an active role in participating on in that effort. And so certainly I'm wide open to listening to all the different ideas that are out there about what's the best way to shape our system. So one of the things that you'll hear from me and our team constantly is that we go around the world, not just the United States, looking for new and different and better ways of approaching the way we do business. We've made dramatic changes in the way we run MARTA services, even as recent as this weekend. And let me give you an example of that. One of the things I took on when we took over this role 3.5 years ago was a ship that figuratively was sinking. And I promised that we're going to look at every way to be more efficient, to be more cost effective, to be more customer friendly. So one of the things we looked at was outsourcing possible pieces of what we do, because if the private sector can do it better, faster, cheaper than what we can do, then we want to look at those things. And we've looked at a number of areas. Some we kept in-house because MARTA, after mm-hmm. testing the waters with the private sector, and the private sector came back with numbers that didn't compare with ours, we kept in-house. Another was paratransit. That's the service that we provide for folks with disabilities. That got started this past weekend. Yesterday, we had a full day of service, well over 90% on-time performance, the best numbers we've seen in a long time. And we'll continue to look for ways to be the best MARTA we can be. So we remain wide open to suggestions.
Can you pay for all of the things you're doing now, though, and the expansion plans you have, even if the halfpenny sales tax for Atlanta passes in November, without state funding?
Here's what we've done. And this was a mandate given to me by our board when I first started. They said, we want you to run the system as if you'll never get another penny than what you have now, but always be prepared that in the event new revenues come in to expand with a great vision. And we've done both of those things. So right now, we will finish up fiscal year 16 with a 30-some-odd million-dollar surplus that we will add to our rainy day fund. That's on top of a $35 million surplus from fiscal year 15, on top of a $16 million surplus from fiscal year 14. The best 3-year period MARTA's ever had in its history, and that's without one new penny from any other outside source.
So it sounds to me as if you're saying, in response to something that the lieutenant governor said about MARTA's fiscal model maybe not being sustainable, that it is sustainable right now. Is it sustainable, though, for the big plans that you have for the future for Fulton and DeKalb, and maybe for regional transit? Can you do all of those big things with the way the model is now?
Yes. What we can do now is run our system, continue to add improvements, such as what we've done in the past few years, adding more frequency on the rail system, added some improved services and bus routes. But no, we cannot use existing resources to suddenly double the rail mileage, for example. And no other system in the country has done that, in fact. But what we will continue to do is be extremely fiscally efficient and responsible, and we will also continue to take ideas about how we can be an even better business partner. So as we look at this tax increase that's potential for the city of Atlanta, we're telling a story of how well we've spent the taxpayer dollars over these last few years. And if others want to invest with us, whether it's further expansion into Fulton County, further expansion into DeKalb County, we think we're a great business partner to join.
Maybe you can't speak for the board, but in general terms, is the deal state funding in exchange for a change in governance, and that has to come first? Is that an idea that you would consider?
Well, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, one of the things I think I heard was that there's going to be a study commission that
right.
looks at all the different models that are out there. And I'm a public transit professional at this point who has seen a lot of different structures and that sort of thing and seen some success in the different types that are out there. And I will remain certainly open to how we can improve what we deliver. And so if that means that we need to look at some different models and that sort of thing, then certainly I think we should look at them.
You're not ruling out a change in governance.
Well, the reality is the MARTA structure has changed so many times over the last 20 years that it's an ever-evolving type of endeavor. And what we've certainly have seen is the change in the folks who serve on the board. We've seen a change in the number of voting members. We've seen a change in the communities that appoint members. So it's changed quite a few times over history, and the agency has continued to move forward with that.
Who do you think your future customers are?
I am extraordinarily excited about the things that we'll be bringing forward in the next few months, next few years, and the next decade. And I anticipate that as we broaden the types of services we put out there, that people will be looking at MARTA very differently in 5 years even than what they're looking at it today. We're going to revolutionize the way we provide bus service, for example. Gone will be the day of just the 40-foot bus that fits everywhere. Instead, we'll be complementing the 40-foot buses with even larger vehicles for some of our major routes and complementing them with smaller vans and much smaller vehicles that can go in and out of neighborhoods that you can call ahead and have the bus actually veer off its regular route and pick you up right in front of your house and drop you off at a medical appointment or drop you and your kid off at school or some other type of recreational activity.
But won't that take a whole lot of money?
No, we're going to try to do much of this within existing resources, and we're going to be using the city of Atlanta as the test pilot on many of these things. One of the things we proposed for the city in our project list was that there'll be the first of the MARTA customers who will get a chance to see this neighborhood circulator-style service. And so with their investment, we're going to give this a try, and we think it's going to be extremely successful, and others will want to mimic it throughout this region and in all likelihood around the country as well. So we're really excited about the chances of expanding our services. And we won't just stop with buses and trains. We think we're going to be one of the first systems in the country to really embrace bicycles in such a way that we may have our own fleet of MARTA bikes where people can pick those bikes up at various locations, use them for their last mile or first mile of connectivity to the rail and bus system. We think we're going to be one of the first systems that will look into the whole autonomous car component, where we would have a small fleet of those vehicles, again, to provide that first and last mile of connectivity, but always remembering that safety has to be paramount, security has to be paramount, and cost effectiveness with every dollar we have in our trust that we continue to take care of those things as well.
What you've just talked about is service at the micro level, which is what a lot of folks want. There's also the macro component to this, regional rapid rail between cities, the $8 billion expansion plan for Fulton and DeKalb, which was trimmed down by the legislature this past session. Are you still hoping for that?
Absolutely. And one of the things we have done is that we keep the region in mind with every decision we make. I mentioned a little bit earlier that MARTA will have one of the best mobile ticketing services in the entire country. We have created that service so that the Cobb County's transit system, the Gwinnett transit system, and Greta, as well as the streetcar, all will be able to join in on that system seamlessly. when we hopefully expand our rail system down to Clayton County, we're going to build that service, the track, the vehicles, all those things, so that if the folks in Macon, for example, want to eventually join that service, it will be expandable and adaptable. When we run service eventually to Doraville and create what hopefully is a massive opportunity for multimodalism around that Doraville area, that we will create an opportunity for folks in cities far beyond even our region that they can connect to our system as well.
How do you sell, though, the people in the outlying areas, and particularly their county commissions and local authorities who have so far said, we don't want or need MARTA or even transit, whatever you want to call it, in our area?
Well, what we'll continue to do is try to be as excellent as we possibly can be. So let me give you an example of where that's brought some fruit for us. Back in the summer of 2012, it was before my time here, there was this vote called the TIA. And that vote in Clayton County, amongst many other places, failed by a 2-to-1 margin. Fast forward 2 years, MARTA had made some major inroads in terms of overall efficiency, the way customers perceived us, and a number of other things. And we gave those same citizens of Clayton an opportunity to join MARTA with a 1% sales tax, and they passed that vote by a 3-to-1 margin. And we think we're seeing companies vote with their feet as well. So we're seeing people, companies, and millennials and others moving into this area, and many of them say part of their move is based upon having access to world-class public transportation. We think our excellence and continuing commitment to it, and that's the thing, we are striving to get better every single day, that as we continue to do that, that the investment partners will be there with us.
As a final thought, back to the lieutenant governor, and not just to the lieutenant governor, to the legislature as it gets ready for study committees this summer and then a session next year. What do you want from them? What's your wish list?
One of the things that we would certainly ask is seat at the table so that we can hear all the ideas that are being floated and we can help present some ideas as well. If that happens, my sense is we're going to come up with some really, really neat solutions, and it will result in mass transit being improved, mass transit being more widely available, and mass transit being much more widely accepted than what it is today.
But won't that mean outlying areas will eventually have to do what Fulton and DeKalb have done, pay extra on their sales taxes in order to fund the kinds of things that you've been talking about?
Well, certainly, in order to be a part of the system, the folks who expect service, expect amenities, that sort of thing, will need to pay for it. So, no, I don't think there's any secret in that. Part of what we spent a considerable amount of time with the people in Clayton, we had to make them assured that they would have a strong voice at the table about the types of services they received, and then that once those services came in, that we met their expectations and that they would continue to be able to shape their future. So 1 year in, we started the Clayton service a little more than a year ago. The numbers have come back as a resounding success. Over 80% of the folks who have ridden the service say that they would recommend others to ride it. The customer service satisfaction we have right at the 80% level as well of people who use the Clayton service say that they are satisfied or greatly satisfied with the MARTA service. And to have done that in just a 1 year period of time, we feel really good about, and in fact, it exceeded what we thought the numbers would look like. So we've been able to implement a new service, meet the expectations of the customers, but still recognize we've got some more work to do to get to a level of excellence that everybody sees.
And you think the same sales pitch, if you will, that you used in Clayton County would work in a county, just to pull some examples, Paulding, Cobb, Forsyth?
Well, we will certainly do our part in being a transit system that focuses on customers, takes care of our employees, and does a great job of meeting bottom line goals. And if others think that is the type of entity they'd like to join with, then we'll be here.
Keith Parker is the general manager of MARTA. Mr. Parker, thank you so much for giving us this time. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.